We'll look at a message here from the first part of Joshua chapter 1, and down through some of the later verses in the chapter, but Joshua chapter 1. Sir. Definitely appreciate your burden for the field, Brother Ewing, and appreciate that you're a missionary kid that's allowed God to use you back to the service as well. Definitely, my wife and I both grew up missionary kids, and it's good to see someone who grew up in ministry and is not afraid to go back into ministry. So appreciate that very much. But so Joshua chapter 1, I'm going to read verses 1 through 9, and then I will have a word of prayer and we'll get into the message. So Joshua chapter 1, I'm going to start reading in verse 1. The Bible says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, and unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it toward the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Let's pray, and then we'll get into the message. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do come before you now to ask for your blessing on this time, ask for you to work in our hearts, we ask for you to speak to us through your word, and Lord, we pray that that I would not get in the way of your message to all those listening here this morning, but that I would speak only words that you would have me to speak from your word, Lord. And we just ask you to work in all of our lives. Pray that you would encourage us this morning. Pray that you would help us to set everything else aside out of our thoughts now and to focus on your word and to truly seek to learn about you here this morning and to take it with us throughout our lives. And we love you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So in the first chapter of Joshua here, Moses has just died, and Joshua is taking over for Moses as the next leader of Israel. I just realized I don't have my wireless mic on, so I'm going to stand right here the whole time, I hope. Joshua is about to take over for Moses as the leader of the nation of Israel. And so I want to look at kind of these verses here that we read. And you know, it's a long message, but it's not even 11:30 yet, so I could be here for a long time. No, I'm just kidding. But no, we won't go too long this morning. But so God has prepared Joshua for this moment. God has done a lot in Joshua's life to prepare him for this moment. The first time that we see Joshua is back in Exodus chapter 17. Exodus chapter 17. And in Exodus 17 is where God appointed Joshua as the leader of the army, the general, basically, to go out and fight the Amalekites, and he did that very successfully. And there's several times where we see Joshua before this. Obviously, in the book of Exodus, we see him in Exodus 17 and 24 and 32 and 33 and a few other places. In Numbers 27 is when he's appointed the next leader of Israel. In Numbers 13 and 14, Joshua is mentioned as one of the 12 spies that went to spy on Canaan. And he was part of the two that were good, him and Caleb, obviously. But God has done a lot to prepare Joshua for this point. I want to talk about that just briefly as a way of introduction to get here and understand a little bit who we're talking about when we're talking about the man of Joshua, the character of Joshua, and how God has prepared him for this purpose. Joshua, to me, has become one of my favorite characters in the Bible. I started studying him a little bit more in depth a number of months ago. And he's an amazing guy. Very few faults you can put on Joshua. Of course, we can all probably think right off the bat of two times of his failure with the Gibeonites that deceived him and Ai. Both times he failed to seek the counsel of the Lord. But other than that, you don't see any major faults with this guy. He's a guy who, and it's said of him two or three times in the first five books of the Bible here that Joshua was a man who wholly followed the Lord. And when you see his life, yes, he was a guy who followed the Lord with his whole heart. He was very serious about it. And we see some clues as to how he did that, as to how God was able to use him, as to why it was said of him that why he wholly followed the Lord. When we look previously on his life, you know, we see a man who's very humble, not seeking any honor toward his name ever at all. In fact, there's multiple times, in Numbers 27, and afterwards, in Deuteronomy 29, and even in the book of Joshua, where God had to put, the Bible says that God put honor on Joshua, that he put some of Moses' honor on him, and he caused him to be honored in the sight of all the people. But you never see Joshua looking for that. What you see in the character of Joshua is a guy who's pretty quietly in the background, almost kind of a shy and timid guy, it seems like, in studying his life. But he was willing and able to do anything that was asked of him, whether that was, you know, leading an army for the first time, an army of slaves who had never held a sword before in their whole life, against the Amalekites, who were pretty good at fighting. And he said, sure, I'll do it. God wants me to do it, I'll do it. And God blessed that. When he was a spy and going into the land of Canaan. And all of public opinion was turned against him. You know. But what we see when he was in that story of Numbers chapter 13 and 14, when they went to the land of Canaan and they saw the promised land, how great it was, but of course we know the story. They saw the giants and the walled cities, and they said, there's no way we can do this. 10 of the spies came back and gave an evil report and said, there's no way we can do this. But what you see in Joshua, and as well as Caleb, but focusing on Joshua here this morning, is he believed the word of God. He believed God's promises. God had promised 500 years before to Abraham that this is your land. And God is telling them, go and take it. That's all you have to do. And Joshua believed that. And you see that over and over again with the life of Joshua. When circumstances arose that were difficult or that appeared impossible, if God had promised Joshua something, he believed that promise. Nothing was going to deter him. It did not matter what it was. If it was the walls of Jericho or the giants in the land of Canaan, God said it, it's going to happen. That's what you see. Joshua had tremendous faith in God's word. And we see Joshua had a very real and close relationship with God. We could look at several places in the book of Exodus, Exodus 24, Exodus 32, and Exodus 33, where very interesting, especially in Exodus 24, the first time where you see Joshua, this is the first time that Moses was going up to Mount Sinai to meet with God there. And God had come down to Mount Sinai and he called Moses, come up to the mountain, and I'm going to give you my laws and my commandments and all that. And so Moses goes up to the mount and Joshua goes with him. And in that passage, or you read that passage in Exodus 24, there's no evidence to say that that was at all compulsory. Joshua just said, I'm going with Moses. Moses is going up to the mountain to be with God. I'm going to be there too. God's there. That's where I'm going to be. So he had that very close relationship with Moses as well. And Moses, no doubt, did a lot to encourage Joshua to have that walk with the Lord. And then you get to the point where in Exodus 33, after they had come down off the mountain and they find this great sin in the camp, and Moses threw up a tabernacle, a tent there real quick. So God said, set up this tent. I'm going to come down. I'm going to meet with you in the tent. And so God himself comes down and is in this tent. And Moses goes in there. And guess who was right there with him? Joshua. You see, wherever God is, Joshua's like, I want to be there. I want to be there too. And he's there. And even in that chapter, after Moses leaves that meeting with the Lord, face-to-face meeting with the Lord in that tabernacle, Moses leaves. The Bible says Joshua stayed there. Joshua departed not out of that. So Joshua stayed there. He had an independent relationship with the Lord as well. It wasn't just because of Moses. It was his own. But you see these things as Joshua develops, and as the Lord develops Joshua and preparing him, basically, for this moment. And in Numbers 27, when Joshua is appointed as the next leader of Israel, God lists several things about Joshua. He said he's a man in whom is the Spirit. Joshua was a man who was led by the Spirit of God, not necessarily the desires of his flesh. He did what God wanted him to do, not what he wanted to do. And we see also in Numbers 27 what we're going to look at in Joshua chapter 1, where Joshua was to seek the counsel of the Lord in his decisions. And so we come here to Joshua chapter 1, where Moses has died, and now Joshua, his time has come to take charge here. A need has risen. As verse 2 says, God says to Joshua here, he says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, into land which I do give them, even unto the children of Israel. So here's the task that God has given him. He said, go over this Jordan. You know, they have been here once before, and they had failed to do it before. But now, you know, crossing the Jordan, this meant going to the promised land and possessing it as their own. It meant they would have to fight and conquer its current inhabitants. And Joshua knew very well what all that was going to entail. It also meant the fulfillment of the prophecy. Like we said, given 500 years before to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. And repeated multiple times since then. And he was simply commanded to go. God did not tell him any details here. He says, now therefore arise and go. He didn't tell him how he was going to do it, but he does promise. We give him some promises here, as we're going to see. But he gives him a simple command here to go. And he wasn't told here necessarily how that when they got to the waters of Jordan, the guy was going to part the waters and let them go across. And you don't see Joshua asking that either. You don't see Joshua asking, wait a minute, Lord, how are we going to get across the river? And I know you're going to help us defeat our enemies, but how exactly are you going to do that? I just need a little extra assurance here. You don't see Joshua saying that. So God said, go. He said, okay, let's go. And it was something, he said, now therefore arise thou and all this people. It was something that Joshua being told to do this personally. He was one that step out in faith and go, and he was going to be the one to lead these people to do the same and follow the Lord. Joshua had to have that. Joshua had to be the one to go in order for the people to follow him. And like so, God reminds him of the promise here, and of course Joshua, as we saw in Numbers before. I mean, Joshua already saw that this enemy that they're going to go, that they were going to come up against, was defeated. You know, he had the spiritual wisdom. He had the wisdom and insight. And the Bible talks about that in Deuteronomy 34 and Numbers 14 and Numbers 27 talks about Joshua's wisdom and insight and discernment because he simply trusted the Lord. And that is such a key thing for us to do as well. And one of the keys for us to having wisdom and spiritual discernment in this life is simply trusting the Word of God. There's a lot of wisdom that comes when you see a truth in God's Word, a principle in God's Word, and you just decide, I'm going to obey it. I'm going to follow that truth. I'm going to follow that command. I'm going to follow that principle, no matter if it makes sense or not. There's a lot of wisdom in that. And that God will impart with a lot of wisdom and discernment when we make that decision to simply be obedient to God's Word. As he did here with Joshua. And, you know, one of the big lessons we can learn here from this part of the passage where God is telling Joshua, you know, now therefore arise and let's go. I've got this job for you to go. And Joshua was ready for it. Joshua was ready. He hadn't ruined his life like Aaron had back in Numbers chapter 32 when Joshua and Moses were up in Mount Sinai. And everyone else is down in the plain, and they built this calf, this golden calf, to worship because Moses has been in the mountain too long. And they said, "Well, God's not here." And just 40 days before that, Aaron had seen the Lord himself. Talks about Aaron and the elders had seen with Moses. They had actually seen an image of God himself in the mountains there. And even after that, they still build this golden calf. I do not understand that. Never will. But I do things in my own life that I look back on. Why did I do that? do not understand. There was no good reason for doing that whatsoever. So we do those things, and praise the Lord that He is merciful towards us. And very merciful. But Joshua here was ready. He didn't ruin his life with everybody else at that point down there. He was focused on following God. And by the way, he missed out on that sin, on that idol that they made, and everything that was involved in that idol worship, because he was seeking the Lord. He was trying to follow after God. He was up in the mountains. Like, God's up in the mountain. I want to learn more about God. That's where I'm going. And he missed out on all that. But Joshua had been ready. He had been prepared and ready for this time by developing his relationship with the Lord. And there's a point in time that's going to come to each one of our lives as well. And multiple times. And not just one big moment in our life, but there's going to be times in our life where God is going to, there's going to be a need arise that God needs us to fill, or God doesn't, He wants to use us to fill. You know, God chooses to use us for our benefit, not necessarily for His benefit. But He has a need arise for us to fulfill, and He's going to come to us and say, "Now therefore arise and go. Will you be ready? Will you be able to do it? Will you be able to say, 'Yes, Lord, I'm ready, I'm willing, I'm going to do that.'" And do we have a purpose as well? You know, God has a purpose for each and every one of us. God has a purpose for us. There is a purpose for our life. There is a purpose for tomorrow when you get up in the morning, Monday morning, whether you're going to work or you're a mom at home with the kids or whatever you're doing. God has a purpose for you for that day. You know, there's a big picture purpose and there's a lot of smaller purposes going on throughout the day. God's got a purpose for you. Your life is not just random chance. We're not supposed to just wander aimlessly through our life, especially us as Christians. Okay, we're Christians. We have things like the Holy Spirit. We have the Great Commission. We have things we're supposed to be doing. We know our time here is very limited, and the world is a very dark place, and we have the light. And, you know, that's just one thing we can think about in this area of the purpose that we have. But we are not to wander about aimlessly through life. I think that it's very easy for Christians to be extremely irresponsible with the time and the energy and the abilities that God has given us. God gives us these things for a purpose. We're not to just go about fulfilling our own desires or doing whatever we feel like doing. God has a purpose for us. Just like Joshua here had this purpose, God has a purpose for us. And are we prepared for that task? Are we prepared for the purpose? Can God use us? Are we usable? Are we clean? Are we right with the Lord? Do we have that relationship with God where God can use us? You know, and just think about it. Think about it. Pray about it. Pray, God, is there something that you have for me to do that I need to know about that I'm not doing right now? Is there something, you know, for Christians, is there a ministry, Lord, that I need to be involved in that I'm not involved in? Is there something that I need to be doing that I'm not doing? Pray about that. Don't be scared to pray that. It'll be worth it. It'll be worth it. If God plugs you into something and gets you involved, then He will. It'll be worth it, no matter what that is. It doesn't have to be something big and flashy and showy, like standing up and leading songs and preaching. It's something in the background, something quiet and that nobody sees except for God. But God will reward that. God's a rewarder, not man. You know, we don't do things for what man can see, but we do things for the Lord because of our love for the Lord. But God has purpose for us, you know. Especially if you have a family, you know, if you're a husband, a father, a wife, or a mother, think about that right there. Think about your responsibility and your purpose right there with your kids and your spouse and whatnot. And you know, are you taking that seriously? Are you taking that purpose, that job seriously? Or are you just, you know, whatever happens, happens. You know, we need to take life very seriously and be aware of the purpose that God has for us, not be too distracted by the world or by our own desires to do what God has for us to do. And we look at multiple examples in Scripture of people who, like Joshua, who were prepared when God came to them and said, you know, here's the need, now therefore arise, and those who weren't prepared. And I'm sure we can all think of those. You know, David, as a young man, he was ready to fight Goliath. And a little later on, there was times in David's life where he wasn't prepared and he had failures. Think of Rehoboam, Solomon's son. He was not prepared. When it came time for him to take over the kingdom, he messed things up pretty bad, didn't he? He did not have that walk with the Lord. He was not prepared. You know, there's multiple examples that we could speak of. You know, we just had our missions conference, you know, with Esther 4:14, with the theme verse, you know, for such a time as this. And Esther, she was ready for that. She was ready for that time that God had for her. And, you know, that's such a great example for us to follow as well. And so the children of Israel here, you know, they're about to begin a time of war, and God has been preparing Joshua and preparing the nation of Israel for this. And, you know, and he reminds them of that promise in verse 3 and 4, that every place that they tread on, you know, will be given unto you, from Lebanon to Euphrates to the Hittites. He's reminding them of their promised land. And in verse 5, he says, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee." So what we see God reminding Joshua here, and he's going to continue to remind him throughout the chapter, and here he reminded him at least four times in the book of Deuteronomy and others in the book of, book of Numbers as well. God was constantly reminding and encouraging Joshua of this, of who God was and what he does. He's like, I'm the God of Moses. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. As I will not fail thee, I will not forsake thee. We see Joshua receiving a lot of encouragement throughout his life. Just reading through the Bible doesn't give us a whole lot of details about Joshua's personality. But when you see 6, 7, 8, 9 times of people encouraging Joshua, even if you look at the later part of Joshua chapter 1 and throughout the book of Joshua, some of the people of Israel, the children of Israel, even after Moses is dead and gone, they find themselves having to go and encourage Joshua. I tend to think he was, you know, maybe kind of a discouraged guy. maybe he was, like I said, kind of the shy and timid type and wasn't a real go-getter. I don't think he would have been a very outspoken person. I don't think he would have been a very type A personality type of guy. I could be wrong. I'm just kind of deducing here from some things we see from the Bible here. But God used him tremendously. And we'll see the key to that. God gives Joshua the key to that in this Joshua chapter 1 of how he was going to be able to use him. That. And you know, Joshua's key to success is given in this passage. And this is the same thing that we need to fulfill God's purpose for our life. When the time comes, God comes to us and says, "Now therefore rise, here's something I need you to do. Here's how we go about doing it." And it's given to us right here in Joshua chapter 1. And verse 6 starts off, says, "Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people thou shalt divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. So only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from to the right hand nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest." One of the first things we see here in this next part of the chapter is to be strong and courageous in our obedience to God's word. God does not tell you, he doesn't just simply say, "Be strong, be courageous, you know. Just go out there and be strong, you know, stand up like a man, put your shoulders back, just be strong, and you'll be okay." That's not what he says. He says, "Be strong and courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law." Be strong and courageous in your obedience to the word of God. This is not just simply trusting in our own physical, mental, or spiritual abilities. This is about having boldness and discipline in our decision to obey God's word. To follow God's word. This takes a lot of boldness. So obedience to God's word requires a great amount of strength and courage and boldness. Everything in the world will be against you. Satan himself will be against you. If you decide to follow God's word, to follow the principles set forth and the commandments that we find in God's word, you're going to have a lot of enemies out there trying to stop you. Satan is going to be out there, like I said, everything in the world. And perhaps the biggest enemy out there that you'll have against you is your own self. Your own flesh will go against you. It will not want to follow the word of God. It will not want to do that. It's like, "No, I don't feel like doing that. I feel like doing this. This feels better." So that it will take a lot of strength to do this. You know, just in the example of the children of Israel here, you know, they had the Canaanites constantly pulling at them. And, the people that they failed to cast out of the promised land after this point, you know, they constantly causing them to fall into idolatry, into sins, into disobedience from God's word. We could think of other examples. You could think of examples of people who were strong, like Joshua, like Daniel, strongly and courageously obeyed God, even going against, you know, the king's commandments and against the death penalty. And his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, just strongly saying, "No, God has told us to do this. We are going to do this. We don't care if we die for it. God said to do it. We're going to do it." That takes a lot of strength, a lot of courage. They weren't, you know, when Daniel's three friends are there, and, you know, Daniel himself, when they had all that strength and boldness and courage, it wasn't because, no, we are of the nation of Israel. We are Israelites, and because of our nation, we are not going to, no. It was the word of God. It was God says to do this. We're going to follow God. We're going to follow God even above the nation of Babylon, even above our own king, whatever it is. We're going to follow God. And just like with Joshua here, you know, you think of Job, Satan pulling at Job, his own wife trying to get him to curse God, and he refused to do it. Think of the author of Psalm 119, most likely Ezra, as Dad has recently preached through that whole chapter. But just over and over and over and over and over and over and over again, every other verse and almost in those 176 verses is, you know, his enemies are just pulling at him in his flesh, and everything's pulling at him to get him to go against God's word. But he won't. He won't do it. He will not go away from obeying God's word. And of course, there's lots of examples of those who've failed. We think that in our own life, you know, obedience and faithfulness to God's word is something we can be decisive on. Okay, my personality, I tend to be a little bit indecisive. It takes me a while to make some decisions. I'm not a guy who can hear something right up front and make a decision right there, right on the spot. A lot of times, you know, I got to say, well, okay, give me a minute here. Let me think about this. Make sure what's the right thing to do here. But when it comes to deciding whether or not we're going to choose to obey God's word, to take this seriously, say, okay, if this is the word of God, if this book right here is from the Almighty Creator who made me, who made everything around me and has a purpose for me, am I going to take this book as 100% serious, as 100% truth, and dedicate my life to what it says? That is something you can be very decisive on. There is no need for indecision there. No need to think about it and say, okay, is this the right thing to do or not? Is this truth? Is this not truth? Obedience and faithfulness to God's word is something you can be very decisive on. In fact, you must be. It calls for a strong and courageous decision to obey it. This is what God is telling Joshua here. This is what you need to do. I've given you this purpose. It's time for you to go and do it. If you're going to fulfill it, here's what you have to do. Be strong and courageous to observe, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it from the right hand nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. He's telling Joshua, you need to make a decision right now. You will do this. You will follow God's word. You will follow whatever I tell you to do. And you will seek his counsel. There's other commandments very similar to this in Numbers that God had given Joshua to say, hey, before you make a decision, go to the priest. Go to Eleazar the priest. He's going to use the Urim and the Thummim, and he's going to get my decision for you. He says, don't make a single decision without doing that. What a great principle we could apply to our lives as well. Before you make a decision, does it line up with God's word? Does it line up with God's word? That Urim and Thummim, it means light and perfections. And we see the same names given to God's word as well. This is like our Urim and Thummim today right here is God's word. When we want to know what to do, what's right to do, what's wrong to do, we have a decision to make. Does it line up with God's word? If it lines up with God's word, that's the right decision to make. That's what you do. And when we don't seek God's counsel, we will see failure in our life, just like Joshua. The only times that you see him failing to seek God's counsel, Ai and with the Gibeonites, and it ended in disaster. Every other time, tremendous victory. Think of Jericho. Think of the five kings that were holed up in a cave. They wiped out. I have a list written down somewhere else. I didn't write down here, but it's something like 27, 28 nations that they just wiped out, gone. In a very short period of time, very strong, powerful nations that this group of slaves from Egypt came up and just wiped out. Pretty incredible, because God told them to do it, and they just did it. And like I was saying, God promises here that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. So, you know, the first thing he's telling us to do is be strong and decisive in our decision to follow God's word. Be bold and courageous to follow God's word. Don't be weak on that. Be strong in obedience to God's word. And then verse 8 and 9, of course, and I'll wrap it up with this, and we'll be done here. I'll go through this very quickly. Is be constantly and consistently feeding on God's word. We know this verse. We're familiar with this verse. It says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Keep it in your mouth. Keep God's word in your mouth. Just like, you know, Jesus said in Matthew 15:18 that what comes out of the mouth comes from the heart. This is a gauge of whether or not the Bible is in us enough, or if we're in the Bible enough. Is it in your mouth? Is it coming out? What's coming out your mouth? Is what comes out your mouth in agreement to God's word, or is it God's word? That shows how much the Bible's in you, or how much you're in the Bible. Keep it in your mouth. And meditate on it day and night. This is, you know, we could talk so much about this, but this is very simple. Think about it. Study on it. Read it. Study it. Meditate on it day and night, every day. It should be a daily thing. We need the Word of God as much as possible. And, you know, that we may observe it. To see it, learn it for himself. You know, this Joshua wasn't just to depend on what others told him. He wasn't just depend on, well, this is what Moses said, or this is what Eleazar the priest says. No, Joshua was to read it for himself, that he could observe to obey it, that, so that he can know it for himself, that this is the truth and that this is what he should do. The same with us. Read it for yourself. You know, don't just trust in what somebody else tells you. Get in the Bible yourself. Make sure you know it for yourself. And to do it, like it says, the purpose of it is not just to read it or to listen to it. You know, the purpose of it was to do it. And according to all of it, so not just pick and choose through it. But this is the key to success. Making decisions based on the wisdom of the Word of God. The devil wants us to make decisions independent of the Word of God. And God knew Joshua was going to come up against that. He knows that we're going to come up against that. The devil tempted Jesus to do that, to make decisions independent of the Word of God. So be totally dependent on the Word of God in your life. Like I said, be strong and courageous to obey God's Word and be in it. Be reading it every day. Be meditating on it every day as you go through it. And be aware of the presence of God. Just lastly, in verse 9, it says, "Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Now Joshua knew God. Joshua knew, he had this relationship. Remember now the times when Joshua was in Mount Sinai with God, at the tabernacle, the times he had spent actually physically in the presence of God. I mean, no one here can say that they've done that like Joshua. We have the Holy Spirit in us, and so we're in the presence of God in that way. But, I mean, Joshua literally could see him. So he's reminding him who's commanding him to do these things. Like, Joshua, remember, this is me. You know, the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Have not I commanded thee? And so remember the presence of God. All Joshua had to do was to trust and obey God, not to worry about this daunting task that was ahead of him. Huge task. Absolutely huge. Leading the nation of Israel across Jordan River into the land of Canaan. God says, don't worry about that. Just trust and obey me. And whatever it is, God will take care of it. God will fulfill his promises. Same with us. God will fulfill his promises to us. Our responsibility is to trust and obey God. Be faithful to God's word. Remember, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The Lord is with us, just as he was with Joshua here. And, you know, even though the devil will oppose our obedience to God's word, our own flesh and the world around us, we have God, the Holy Spirit with us. And so this just is some tremendous lessons here from the book of Joshua. Hopefully this is encouragement to you today. And like I said, maybe you're here today, you don't even know what I'm talking about. You're listening to me. You're like, you know, I'm talking a lot about having the Holy Spirit. And it's something that God gives to Christians, those who have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Maybe you don't even know that you're a Christian. Maybe you don't even know what's going to happen to you after you die. God certainly wants you to know that. That's the most important thing ever. And what we're talking about here is not how to get to heaven. You can do this all day long, and you're still a sinner. God's going to judge you for your sins one day after you die. As the Bible says, as appointed a man wants to die, and after this judgment. Doesn't matter how dedicated you are to the Word of God. Doesn't matter how dedicated you are to your church. Doesn't matter how many times you've been baptized, or how dedicated you are to being a good and right person, and a good and right neighbor, and a moral upright person in this world. You should be, absolutely. But God's going to judge you for your sins. He's not going to judge you for how good you are. He's going to judge your sins on Judgment Day. And every one of us have broken the law of God. He's going to judge us according to his law. Every one of us have broken that. But if you don't know for sure what your standing is going to be like on that judgment day, you need to get that figured out. You need, because it's coming. The Bible says it's appointed a man wants to die, and after this judgment. Listen, that is why the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth, became a man. It was God himself, the Almighty Creator, became a human being, became a man. He was 100% God and 100% man at the same time. It was Jesus Christ walking on this earth. And listen, when he was here, the reason why he lived for those 30, 33 years on this earth, he lived a perfect life, perfectly fulfilling the law of God. Never sinned once. So that there could be one person who is innocent. So there could be one person who could be the substitute, the sacrifice for us, for all of us sinners. That you know, the God's requirement is perfection, and none of us can fulfill that requirement. So Lord Jesus Christ, He lived that perfect life, and then He died on the cross. And when He gave Himself willingly, that was a sacrifice. That was a substitutionary death on our behalf. We deserve to die. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Jesus Christ did not deserve to die. He was taking your sin, my sin, our sin on Himself, and God was judging Him for it. He literally became our sin for us so that God could pour out His wrath, His judgment on Him in our stead. And Jesus Christ took that. He took our judgment. And the Bible says that if we, through repentance and faith, accept that gift, then we can have salvation. God will forgive us of our sins. God, our debt has been paid at that point. And that is how we receive salvation. And this is after salvation. After you're saved, dedicate yourself to the Word of God. And like it says, that way may be prosperous. There is nothing better than dedicating yourself to the Lord. But, all right, I'm going to close with a word of prayer. Then I'll have Brother Jacobs come up and finish the service. So, dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You so much for this word, Your word that You've given us here this morning. We pray that You would help us to take it to heart, follow it, to obey it, and to trust in You no matter what circumstances of our life may be. And we do pray if there's any listening that don't know You as their Savior, that they would get that matter settled. And we love You. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right. Have you dedicated yourself to God? I'm going to have my wife play a piano here for just a little bit. Folks at home, take a little bit of time here, pray. However God's dealt with your heart, make a decision. I'll pray about it today. I'll do something about it today. Brother McGovern gave us a great lesson today. Deal with God today. Make a decision to do that now. Put everything aside, shut everything down, and just take some time and pray with God. Talk to God. Make a decision for God that you're going to do what you need to do. And with that, just we're going to pray. Take some time. Wife's going to play the piano. And you can come pray if you'd like to.